So I'm Simon Andrews. I'm Executive Director of Fraunhofer UK Research Limited here in Glasgow. Thank you very much, Oxford. Great summit. Thoroughly enjoyed the discussions, and thanks to everyone in my group. It was great. We said go big and go bold. That's what has to be done. The UK is looking at taking R&D spending up to 2.4% of GDP. That's a really, really significant change. And that has to be done with a great attitude towards risk. We have to set big goals, big visions, and then look at funding things properly. That's what our group said. We stand in a little more detail. We're looking at some of the barriers to the way universities operate and industry, and we need to be getting the rewards and the incentives right for everyone. We touched on an economic development view that universities and industry should have a focus not just on the R&D, but also on the skills and pulling everything together, along with colleges. We talked quite a bit about skills and the training needs, the difficulty of training at scale, who ought to do that, and really we have to apply all the resources to make that happen. Risk was another very strong theme for us. And bold leadership's attitude to risk, and that starts with government and includes the research councils, UKRI, as well as individual institutions and companies having that willingness to take risk, to accept failure, to look for really disruptive change. I think that's a cultural aspect that's really strong there, accepting failure, failing fast, failing often, things we've heard before. There are some models to inspire us. The ATI and space communities really got together and set out clear, big, bold, clear visions and got the funding in to achieve those goals. ARIA that's coming through in the UK, copying US DARPA. Howard Hughes Medical Institute, where individual researchers are given 5 years and a lot of money to pursue boldly with no admin to hold them back. Universities have maybe an opportunity to create special environments. I think Phil touched on impact engineers, which reminded me of my own organisation. Sometimes you can bolt a Fraunhofer onto a university to do some of this stuff. Quick advert there. And then we looked at the people that are coming through. The undergraduates, some people felt they're just not aware of industry, what the opportunities and the challenges are. We need more mavericks. We need the undergrads not just to be taught at, but to encourage misbehaviour, to encourage challenge. Our big ask for government, I think, is in that leadership and being bold and accepting failure. We also recommend to government that UKRI needs to be genuinely joined up across disciplines, across the different councils, and be really willing to back winners, take risks, back bold visions, and not be subjected from by government to micromanagement and over-reporting. So that's a quick rattle through a great discussion, but I think our big message is go big and go bold.
Hello, everyone. Again, my name is Marina Bolova. I am from Schlumberger. This is a service company which is developing technologies for energy sector. So we had very good discussions within our group, and I would like to share some of our conclusions and findings. I will probably list five of them. So we will start first one. To address the high-risk projects, which are usually not supported by government, we would like to suggest to consider the option of the government Kickstarters. So basically, the government will buy something which is not created yet. And great examples of this are coming from COVID pandemic, when government invested into the non-existent vaccines, right? So they pre-purchased vaccines, and they also paid for the tests. And another example is the private sector achievements in the space industry, right? So that goes well, very well. So government might see more into those type of activities. Another suggestion is that the technology development should be done when we are looking into the full value chain, right? Into the full life cycle of the technology, not only on the performance phase and then this technology is applied, but also what happened with the raw materials which comes into the creation of this technology, and what will be happen with the disposal of this technology when it is got utilized. So that's important as well. Also, to create a common platform for everyone to share the knowledge and ideas, it would be good to use the common language which is introduced by United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I believe everyone is familiar with those 17 Sustainable Goals. So if we can categorize all the technologies of all the projects according to those 17 Sustainable Development Goals, it will be easier for us to fit the technology development. At the same time, we still think that government should continue to support long-term fundamental research, which we need, right, in all the sciences to drive the innovations further. So we shouldn't destroy what works already very well. And final thing I would like to bring from my company. So we just finished the exercise of calculating our own carbon footprint inventory, and we did this across all those three scopes of emissions, scope one, scope two, and scope three. And that's really all over our eyes, right? Because very often people are driven by perception that, okay, let's switch from the diesel cars to the electrical ones and we will solve the climate change problem. It's not the case, right? So, but we found out that our hotspots in the emissions are in the various spaces, and this is not pretty much the diesel consumption or something else. So just to give you an example, from our total carbon footprint of 55 million CO2 equivalent, 55 million tons of CO2 equivalent, only 1 million ton is coming from the scope one, which is the fuel consumption. The rest is coming from the scope three. And this is where we need to work, and this is where organizations and universities need to look and understand where the contribution of emissions is coming from the full value chain. So understanding of this, applying the proper methodology is very critical. So that will be probably my final point. Thank you for great discussion. It was a great event.
Thank you, Marina. I'll carry on next. I'm Simon Hepworth. I'm Director of Enterprise at Imperial College London. We had a fantastic conversation. We solved the world many times, and we did so using five key principles. The first one, we were thinking about COVID and how we all focused on one direction and how do we achieve that for sustainability generally. And the feeling was there, could we incorporate communities more in the decision makings that are made around major funding and initiatives? So we thought about the kind of community activism we've seen to influence agendas of large companies, and that's a very positive thing, and that it is creating the feeling to act now. So what can we do more to include more communities in our decision making? And certainly universities, certainly at Imperial, we've had great success during COVID in terms of engaging students in our decision making on aspects that affect their experience. So how can we augment that model? We talked quite a bit about porosity, and we actually have a very good example that was put forward by Greg King from Georgia Tech, which was a joint employment agreement. So this gets over the issue of a scientist or engineer needing to reside in either a university or a company, the fact that they could be in both at the same time. That's certainly not something that I've seen at Imperial, so I think that's a best practice that we will look at as a model. On funding, we had a good debate around what is the best way to fund projects, and there was a view there that perhaps we should be better funding fewer, bigger initiatives, and we had that view from ARIA and the way that is formed. But there was also a big question about just how do you decide then which of those initiatives you are going to fund, and just on what basis do you make that decision? So it's not an easy thing to do. But there is a feeling at the moment that too few projects are funded and that quite a few of them compete with one another. So we haven't really got the collaboration that we will need to fix things in the fastest way. Aga brought up a very good point around permission to pause. So one of the great things about COVID was when groups of people in their organization said, we've got a real opportunity here to make a difference, whether it be making PPE equipment, working on a ventilator, working on more complex initiatives, everybody was given permission to drop what they were doing in their day jobs and go work on these projects. And there was a great sense of well-being of at least being able to do something about the pandemic through those initiatives. The key question is, how do we achieve that same kind of permission to work on projects related to sustainability? How do we get to the point where employers, governments, universities feel that their people can go work on those types of projects and use their time there effectively? I think I will stop there. I think that one final point, Robert Miller, I think, inspired us all with his adoption of Formula One racing engineering techniques to drive academic research. For me, that's taking a lean startup methodology in a way. So it's creating a minimum viable product and testing in your marketplace quickly. So I think what everybody liked about that was that you get a fast answer. So the question mark was, should we review all research and development projects in that way? Should there be that kind of very early look? Is it actually achieving anything useful? We also had a debate at the end around, is it a technology discovery problem or is it a technology scale-up problem? So do we know all the technologies we need today, and is it just a case of working together to scale them up? And again, I think the jury's out on that one. I will leave it there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Manar Al-Saif. So I'm the Energy Partnerships Manager at Cambridge University. Similar to the previous group, our group compared the situation to COVID because, much like climate change, it's an all of us problem and everyone pulled in together to achieve a fast solution. But our group felt like there was more potential for cooperation because there was still a bit of competition, not as much cooperation as there could have been. One thing our group missed was the role of societal behavior, which we felt is critical. We need to better understand how to influence societal behavior. So we need the perspective of social scientists, partly to help change it, but also to plan for the impact of those changes. So in general, this feeds into the idea that we need more of a holistic view. And maybe part of the problem is that society is informed by government, who has a shorter time scale based on perhaps the election cycles than we would like. So perhaps we need a bit more information from industry and academia, who will have a longer term view and more of a holistic vision. We recognize that everyone's efforts are needed, including the media, philanthropists and entrepreneurs. And we really need everyone to kind of pull together. We need governments to work together as well, because this is problem that goes above an individual government. We have a strong need to plan the education of the future. So what's the future workforce going to look like? We need to start factoring that into early stage education now. It's quite urgent. On the question of what do we want from government, I had three things. One, to work with industry and academia and with each other more closely, to keep the pressure on industry that doesn't contribute to the transition or that emits more, and to make sure that the right economic incentives are introduced in the design of solutions. Those were the main things that I picked up. I think I'll stop there, hand it back to you guys. Thank you.
So thanks very much to all of you, to the discussion leads, to the rapporteurs, to all the delegates who've contributed to the fantastic discussions in the breakouts. And for me, like, there's a number of key messages coming out. I've got an interesting challenge now to bring it all together into a report and try and do justice to the rich discussions that we've had over the today, but also the last couple of days. And I think from today, just listening to the feedback groups, I think, you know, for me, societal change, how do we change behaviours and incentives? Go big, go bold. You know, how do governments create kickstarters to, you know, kickstart new markets? Role of procurement in that. And the other one that I really sort of found interesting and important was, how do we better include communities in our work to try and create that a sense of common purpose that might drive change as well. So with that, I thank you very much for our session. I'll hand over to Phil and say thank you very much.